Today's daf in Masechet Chagiga, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. We're holding right at the top of the daf, and we were just finished the idea of the seven Rikiyim, and we talked about what the names of each of these Rikiyim are. And today, we want to show that it's not as simple as it appears. But I just want to point out to you that those seven Rikiyim are brought by the Gra as being keneged seven words. Yale, v'yavo, v'yagia, v'yera'e, v'yeratze, v'yishama, v'yipaked, v'yizacher. Each one of those words is keneged one of these Rikiyim, and he explains how they're one, keneged one. Although, as I said, he flips the Ma'on, and he puts Ma'on before Zvul, so he flips Ma'on and Zvul. But as the Gra explained, Vilon is Ya'aleh, and that is the person, it provides the drive, it provides the sense of wanting to get higher. So that's the Ya'aleh of the Ya'aleh V'yavo. And then we have the V'yavo is Kineged Rakia, and that means that the person has to be able to be included in Boruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. In other words, you need to arrive at a place in which you have a Mavdil B'Mayim L'Mayim, and that's Keneged Rakia, to be able to recognize the meaning of a completely different level of existence that, in terms of pure physicality, is just thinking. And then the Yagia is in terms of being Nenem Iziv Hashchina, and that is to, which is a remez to Yigia Satera, that because of the Yegiyah that he has, he also can arrive. And Ma'on is the Mikor of Bracha, and therefore that Aveda, we're asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Yera'eh, that's Keneged Yera'eh of our Masechet, which is the Mokor of Bracha. And then the Zvul is the Mokom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen, and that's the Yeratzeh, because that's the Karbonites that are brought. The Karbonites are always done for Ritzui. So the Yeratzeh is that what it is that we're doing should be begetter the Ritzui in the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala. As I say, he inverted, right? So it's in that order. And then Machon, that is Keneged Yishama, because what was the pasuk? Ata tishma min ha-shamayim machon shiftecha. So then that means that Shmia itself, Yishama, is Keneged Machon. And Arvut is basically the Otzer HaNeshamas and is the insight into the internal neshama of a human being, and that is the Moker of real Zechira and real Pekida. So this is Keneged the Yizacher, the Yipaked. That's how the Gra explains it. Now, what's beautiful is a really beautiful tshuva by Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe is responding, Rav Moshe is very careful. Nobody should know if he's saying something harsh. Nobody should know who he's saying the harsh thing to. But someone had published a mimer that the mitzvah is when you say Kriyat Shema, so you're supposed to be Ma'ached HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your mind, L'malav, L'mata, and all of the sides of the earth. So he said, the person has to be Mechavin to the Gemara and Chagiga, and he has to go through all of the Shiva Rekiyim, so that way it will be Mala the Yichud Hashem in all Shiva Rekiyim. So Rav Moshe writes, well, this business, I don't know where the heck you got that from, because it sure doesn't say that anywhere that I know of. And it's all basically ridiculous, because first of all, you're pretending that everybody holds that there's Shiva Rekiyim. I mean, the sugya begins with the Rav Yehuda that there's two. The Rambam lists in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah 9, which fine, you have to understand, right? And then we get to today's Gemara, which is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and that there's additional Rekiyim, that Ramala Mirashi, Achayas, and so on. So what that would mean is, and besides that, there's also other in Yanim, and he talks about the Abba Ruch, Tachas Kippah, and Rabbi Meshur expands on it, right? And therefore, he says, if you take a look in the Rambam, all the Rambam says with his 9 Rikiyas, it talks about Kriyat Shema, Shamayim V'aretz, Shulchan Aruch, Shamayim V'aretz. And the tour, which brings this, is a Yesh Mefarshim, Shamayim V'aretz, right? So that includes everything. The moment you start talking about your brilliant Shiva Rikiyim, all you're doing is subtracting. So just mind your own business, basically. Very sweet. Okay. So this is today's Gemara that's referred to in that Tshuva by Rav Moshe, where he says, what about Rav Acha bar Yaakov? Fine. So we have Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, there's another Rekia, Od Rekia Echad Yesh Lamala Mi Roshei HaChayot, Dechtivu Dmut Al Roshei HaChaya, Rekia Ke'en HaKerach HaNora. And that was, it looked like another Rekia, and this was above the heads of the Chayas that we were speaking about, which we'll speak more of. And this was a Rekia that appeared to be made out of frightening ice that was spread out over their heads. And that's also, it's something that was terrifyingly bright and cold, frozen. Okay, Atkan. Now, this is as far as you have a right to even deal with hyperliteralism. Ad kan yesh lecha reshut ledaber, mikan ve'elech ein reshut ledaber. Words have to fail you from this point on. Note that this was so obvious that it's even in Sefer Ben Sira, which really doesn't have any kedusha. B'mufla mimcha al tidrosh. That which is beyond you, don't think about by drisha. B'mechuseh mimcha al tachkor. No analysis of that which is covered. B'meshur sheta idbonen. What it is that you have reshus, that's what you should be looking into. Ein lacha esek b'nistarot. All that happens to you if you start being esoteric is that you become esoteric, and it's none of your darn business. Now, you want to understand what we're talking about in terms of the really geometric progression of the level of understanding and life that's involved in this? Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in a braisa. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar was dreaming about Elea Bomote Av, Adam Ele Elyon, so he's thinking to himself, I am going to the top of the clouds. I'm going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So a bat kol came out. V'amralo, you Rasha ben Rasha, you ben Oshel, Nimrod HaRasha, Shimrit kol olam kulo olav v'malchuso. Tosfos says, doesn't mean literally that he's the grandson of, or even a descendant of Nimrod. But what we're talking about is the idea of Shinar and Bovel that are related to the conceptual Nimrod, which was that place of control and so on that Nimrod searched for. And in that sense, you are the spiritual heir. Again, speaking in hyperliteral terms, even about what we mean when we use the word the heir of. So we don't necessarily mean a genetic heir. We can mean a mimetic heir. And that's what it's referring to over here. And he was Mamre the Olam against me when he was the king. You know, you think you're such hot stuff. How long does a human being live? Maybe 70 years. Maybe 80 years. I don't know. It says, Yimei Shnotenu Bem Shivim Shana, Bem Gvurot Shmonim Shana. It's very interesting that Tosis points out that actually Nebuchadnezzar was older than that at this time. Because we find him linked to the time of Sancheirav where he was working. Remember, the Gemara says he was working as the sofer, and the way that he wrote about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he stood up and he walked and he chased after the Shliach, that was the reason that he became king. This is much later, and he's older than 80 years old. So what is this is just like a general description of the human condition. It wasn't meant to be talking to him directly. But just to give you an idea, so if you're talking about Min HaAretz Ad Rakia, if you want to talk about what it would take a human being to really get to the Rakia, you know, that would be the universe as we know it. That would take him 500 years. We need to understand that the metaphors that we talk about over here are to us so childish. It's like, you know, the metaphor of that's the thinness of a hair, which to us is like about as thick as you could possibly get. You know, like, who would deal with that? You know, oh my gosh. Every child start talking about using laser measurements to the one quintillionth of the thickness of a hair. You know, like this is called thick. This is called thin. It's amazing. So, I mean, it's the same idea. You're trying to give people, again, guys, I don't think you recognize how recently And this is because of this geometric progression. How recently concepts have changed to make these early metaphors literally childish, right? So you can read the Navi, and you can talk about the great shakings of the earthquakes and the brilliant light of the star. You know, I mean, take a look at the sun and throw it into Betelgeuse and take a look how bright the star is. Just joke. And so on and so forth. So we have all of these, to us, silly metaphors. But remember the Yesod of the Chazon Ish. And that is that the Torah is meant to speak to primitives because it has to speak to the simple physicality of a human being unequipped with additional sensual data that was not his in terms of his nature. Remember, this is how the Chazon Ish explains Hilchos Treifas. And this is how he explains the absurdity of our silly bracha about every 29 years, the Birchas Hachama, which has no connection to reality. Or the absurdity of announcing the molad and shul. There ain't no such molad. I mean, the whole thing is just a joke. But it wasn't a joke to people until we became so much more aware of even the simple physicality of things that is mind-bogglingly beyond what anyone could have considered just a short while ago. So when we hear these kind of things, they need to be translated into infantile terms. So if you were talking literally to a two-year-old, these are the words that you would use now to give them a sense of a geometric progression, right? So we're talking to you now. The Gemara is talking to infants. So you wanted to get through the universe? That's a 500-year, you know, let's talk about 500 billion light years if you want, which is also childish. And then you're going to have to get through the thickness of the Rakia. Well, that's another 500 years. And then between each one of these Rakiim, there's also that 500-year gap. And then you've got above that, you've got the Chayos HaKodesh. Now, here's geometric progression. Let's start with the feet of the Chayos. The feet of the Chayos are equivalent to the entire range that we just discussed, of getting through all of the Shiva Rakim and this eight spaces between them. That is just the feet. Now, you get to their ankles, but that is now the entire thing that we had squared. And then that's just the ankles. Then you get to their leg. Their leg squares all of that. And then you get to the arkuvais, the knees. That squares all of what we've had until now. Then you get to the thighs. That squares everything that we've had until then. Then you've got the actual guf of the chayos, squared over again. Then you've got the tzavarei chayot also. And even if you don't want to read it as squared and doubling, it's also ganz fine geometric progression, right? And then the heads of the chayos. Now that does the same thing. Square that. Then you've got the horns of the chayot. Square everything you've had until now. Then you've got the kisei hakovod. Well, you've got the feet of the kisei hakovod. That's going to take another 500 billion years. And then you've got up to the actual kisei hakovod itself. Well, that squares that 500 billion. Then you have this melech kel chai v'kayam ram v'nisar shochein aleihem. Then we have this image of an Adam on the kisei, which is supposed to represent the ultimate Yitzelem Elohim. And you, little child, you have a dream of Elea Bomotei Av, Adam Ele Elyon, with your long living 70, 80 year life, and you've started on your journey to get to the edge of the universe. I'll tell you where you're going, guy. Straight to hell is where you're going. Achel Sheol Turan, El Yarkatei Bor. I've got a better place for you than up on Bomotei Av. Okay, so then we get to the next part of the Mishnah. So again, note how important this is just in terms of the general structure of what it is that we need to be aware of, which is the concept of a geometric progression in terms of the levels of each one of these issues. And therefore, what could be meant by Roshei Prakim that we're about to be talking about? And if the Rambam uses this Gemara as his introduction to the Mora Nevuchim in describing the process of becoming aware of anything, which is his own sense of the lightning strikes, which are connected, the understanding here of the chashmal, which the Gemara is going to discuss, which are essentially the electric lightning strikes. Chashmal means in the pasuk electricity. It's not just of course, in our terms, it's metaphorical, but the Eina Chashmal, which is mentioned in the pasuk, is the electrum that is obvious in electrical discharges on ropes and so on. That was always called electrum. And everybody knew about that. They had no idea what it was, but they were aware of the fact that electrons make, that there's something that's making this glow. So when we're talking about chashmal, it's the taking something which is hyperliteral, making it physical as a real metaphor in using it for electricity. And it's actually an excellent use of the word. So it says you're not allowed to even teach a single person unless he's able to be a chacham and oimid midaitai and so on. So Tani Rabbi Chiya, that may be true, but you can give him over the Roshei Prakim. So what you could do is you could give him over at least the various sets of issues that he's going to need to be able to be oimid on. That you can do. Okay, so there's a big question over here. What is this talking about when Reb Chiya says you can? You can what? To more than one Talmud is what he's talking about? Or to only to a person who can understand everything? So, I mean, this is not clear, okay? But basically, in the Meir Nevuchim, in the Hakadama, the Rambam understands that you can give these Rashi Prakim only to the one who is Mevin Me'elav. And then he can use the Rashi Prakim to be able to take it further. Doesn't mean give to anyone Rashi Prakim. Omer Rebbe Zera. Ein Mosrin Roshei Prakim Ela La'av Beit Din, which doesn't literally mean an Av Beit Din, as we're going to see, but someone who is roy to be an Av Beit Din, meaning that he's able to handle halacha, and L'chol Misha Libo Doeg Bekirbo, or, this meaning, to anyone whose heart is Doeg Bekirbo, which means that the more that he understands, the more he recognizes the vulnerability that it creates in. Others learn, no, those are the one plus, meaning who shalibo doeg bikirbo? He has to be roi to be the Nav Beis Din, and he also has that sense of self-awareness of his own vulnerability. So libo is doeg bikirbo. Om Rabami, ein mosrin sitre Torah l'lemish yesh bo chamisha dvarim. If you take a look in the way that the pasuk actually describes the chashivas of someone who is in a matzah of being able to understand things, there are five things that are listed. And those things are listed in Yeshayahu. Sar chamishim, nesu fanim, yoetz v'chacham charashim, v'navon lachash. So first of all, sar chamishim means that you're roy to be a sar of 50, but others learn that it means you have to be 50 years old, as we'll see. And he has to be a nesu panim, is somebody that commands respect. He's a yoetz, which means that he can immediately focus on the problems that a person has and be able to give them advice on how to deal with them. But he also has to be a chacham charashim. He needs to also not just be very insightful, clever. He has to have the background to be able to teach even the smartest people. So he's a chacham charashim, and he's a navon lachash. He understands things that other people find totally mysterious. If he doesn't have that, so then it's usur to teach him. The Omer of Ami, even if somebody has that, but he's not Jewish, ein mosrim divrei Torah lo'ovet kochavim, shenemar lo asachen l'chol goy, u'mishpatim ba'yeda'um, so that only to Klal Yisrael was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megala. Chukav u'mishpatav li'Yisrael, ba'lo asachen l'chol goy. So Tosfos asks, well, isn't that obvious? Since it's usur for a goy to be learning Torah, and it says the goy was loy meitaras chayav misa, so then you would be over on lifnei iver. So why do we need a separate isur? So Tosfos says, because not necessarily. First of all, lifnei iver, if the person has access to something without you, there's no lifnei iver. So suppose he's got another goy, this priest that has already gotten all of this stuff, and he's going to teach him anyway. Can you teach him? So then they wouldn't be a lifnei iver because it's not shreya v'yinar. So then there's a new iser in teaching. And then there's also, it can't mean that it's referring to the Torah that there is a mitzvah for a goy to learn, which are the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And over there, the Gemara says he's greater than an am haaretz who's a kohen gadol. That's even on a goy. So it certainly can't mean that you're not allowed to teach him over there. It's a mitzvah for him to learn. Therefore, we need to understand that there's another makkah. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, who was still young at that time, come, I'm ready to teach you Maaseh Merkava. So Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not old enough. I don't feel, so this is where the idea, this Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not old enough, means he's not a Tzar Chamishim, meaning he's not 50 years old yet, and therefore he shouldn't be learning. Where this business of, if you have to be 40 years old comes from, I have no idea. But this is the Makor in the Gemara, is Rabbi Yochanan, you should be 50 years old to learn Kabbalah. So by the time Rabbi Elazar was old enough, if you don't older, that it means Tzar Chamishim in that sense, then it simply means I still feel that I'm young and childish, and it's not really Libi Doig Vikirbi. I'm still a kid. So by the time Rabbi Elazar was old enough, Rabbi Yochanan was Nifter. So Rabbi Asi said to him, okay, so come out. Rabbi Asi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, come, I'll teach you my Simakova. So Rabbi Elazar said, look, if I was meant to know my Simakova, I would have learned it from your Rebbe, not from you. Gemirta me Rabbi Yochanan and Rabach. Rabbi Yosef, he was a Boki in my Simakova, and the Sabe, the Pumpedita, this the Gemara says was Rabbi Yehuda and Ravena, remember we had back in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that they had learned the Brises of my Sabrashis, and they did not know Maaseh Merkava. So they said to Rabbi Yosef, listen, could you teach us Maaseh Merkava? So Rabbi Yosef said to them, why don't you teach me Maaseh Bereishis, which you're Bekiyam in? So they did. So Bosu da'agmron, after they taught him, so they said to Rabbi Yosef, okay, we did our part, now you teach us Maaseh Merkava. Amalahu, I never made a deal. I just told you to teach me. I mean, it says in the Braisa, Dvash v'chalav tachat l'shoncha, you got to keep the honey and the milk under your teeth, under your tongue, which means Dvarim ha'metukim idvash v'chalav yutachat l'shoncha, keep it to yourself, and therefore I refuse to teach you. I don't think that you're ready. Rabbi Avu Amar Me'acha, it says, Kivasim l'lvoshecha. That means Dvarim Shein Kivshono Shel Olam. Things that are the secrets of the universe would be Lil Voshecha, should remain underneath your clothes. Don't expose them. Omrulay, so they said to Rabbi Yosef, well, I mean, we've already learned a lot. I mean, we learned the Brice of Maaseh Merkava until the Pasuk of Vayomer Eli Ben Adam. And over there, that is Mamish, that Pasuk is the beginning of the second parak of Yechezkel, where Yechezkel is told, and now that you've seen this vision of the Merkava, Amod Araglech, and I'm going to give you a Nevius. But then that means that they'd already finished the entire first parak, and the entire first parak is the parak of Maaseh Merkava. So he said to them, oh, Malus, Rabbi Yosef said to them, so, okay, so ain't Maaseh Merkava. Oh, so what are you coming to me for? That is already the Maaseh Merkava. This is the way Rashi seems to learn it. That ain't Maaseh Merkava means, if that's the case, you don't need me. However, other Rishonim learn that if that's what you want me to explain to you, then of course I can't explain that to you. That's the essential part of Maaseh Merkava, is the psukim before the Vayomer Eli Ben Adam. So how could you come to me and ask me to violate the halacha? Wait a minute, that's not true. Meitve, it says in the Braita, not like Rabbi Yosef. It says, Ad heich ad maaseh amerkava, Rabbi Omer ad va'era batra, and Rabbi Yitzchak Omer ad hachashmal. So, and that would be even ad va'ad bichlal. So what that is saying is that that's still in the first, in the middle of the end, the last two psukim, in the end of the first parak. And it says, Va'era Batra, this is how the Rambam explains this in the Mor Nevuchim, that there is basically two levels that we find over here in the description. In the end of the first parak, and this was was talking about Va'era Ke'en HaChashmal, and then it starts talking about the Chashmal that is expressed on the Chayas, and the surah of the Noiga, which is like a rainbow look, and so on, all of those things. And that is called the Mar'ek Kvod Hashem in the Pasuk. And because of that, it's a Mar'ek Kvod Hashem. Again, you have to remember that it's so recent that the struggle against anthropomorphisms was, remember, if you've read the Maror Nevuchim, 80% of the Maror Nevuchim is to, I mean, it's just, to us, it's just, oh, come on, you're not going to do this again. It's to explain the brilliance of Unkelus and how he was careful to avoid anything that would smell of there being any anthropomorphic, there's no form that is really anything that is literal in any of these psukim, and he goes through all explanations. What is the Yad Hashem, and what is the Ein Hashem? I mean, to us, this is like, oh, come on, you know, well, obviously, but you have no idea of how serious this issue was. I mean, there's people even today who believe that when Rashi says, it says Yad Hashem, kulam yad mamash, that Rashi means to say that God has hands. It's like, incredible. They don't understand what the word mamash means. But this is a struggle that you take a look in the Rambam where the Ravid says, you know, that Gdolim v'tovim mimenu, there were better people than the Rambam. That's what it sounds like. That they believe that God has a body. And it's like, incredible stuff. So to us, we look at this as, you know, what's the big deal? Like, what are you so choshed of? Everybody understands nowadays the idea of hyperliteralism, but they certainly did not. And they actually took all of this stuff seriously. And that was extremely dangerous. And note how much the Rambam throughout the Maror Nevuchim defines the tachlis of all of the mitzvahs to be keneged avodah zarah, because all of these issues are avodah zarah. They're all elements of minus and projections, and exactly what takes a person away from the Yichud Hashem and the whole discovery of Avram Avinu and destroys the Derech Hashem, as the Rambam says. That's what these little red strings around your arms are, and that's what these superstitions are. You think, well, what does it hurt? What does it hurt? It destroyed the world. Any one of these things, one little thing, destroys the world. There is nothing that is stupid. And there is nothing that is not interconnected, and that's Yisrael, is Chachomim, Chukamim, and Chas V'Shalom, that they should believe any of this nonsense, and so on and so forth. And the fact is, you go around and you see people, mamish, still being the equivalent of Christian, crazy people, you know, doing all types of idiotic quiche kind of things, and then they think that this is frumkeit, you know. Mentioning various shamas and wrapping strings around themselves, or, you know, putting up prayer, like they do in, on the trees, you know, where they put up the little prayer, I forgot what they call them. And Richie, he knows. Richie never has problems with aphasia. And then, so that we're looking at this Avodah Zarah, what's it called? Thank you. That's it. The wheels. Yes, that's the wheels of our mind. Exactly. So all of these things are still very, very much part of the way people look at things. And because of that, we're very, very makbid on those two psukim, because they pretend to be describing the Mar'ek Kvod Hashem. What is a Mar'ek Kvod Hashem supposed to mean? So as the Rambam explains it over there, we find basically two words in Va'era. So the first of them is the one that starts describing the chayas. First, we go through 10 psukim of the chayas, and then starts at the vayar, which is 10 psukim about the ofanim. And then start 2 psukim, which is the part about the marek v'id Hashem. Okay, so what we're going to discuss over here is, what's the halacha of those first psukim, the ones, the 10 psukim on the chayas, and the 11 psukim and the 11 psukim about the ofanim, is that considered to be maisa bereishis, or is that considered to be maisa merkava, and so on and so forth? So that's the machlokas we're going to be talking about over here. So the Braisa says maisa merkava is actually Rebbe Omer until the last time that we use the word ve'era and I saw. So that is the actual. Next to, that's the beginning of Va'era Ke'ena Chashmal. So from that is the point where it's considered to be the beginning of the Isurim of Maaser Merkava. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, it includes the Ad HaChashmal itself. But that means that at least most of what it says in the end is not included in the Maaser Merkava. So what has Rabbi Yosef said? Hein Maaser Merkava. Answers the Gemara, no, it's not a steer to Rabbi Yosef. Ad va'era magmarinan. So until va'era, meaning until va'era ke'ina chashmal, you're allowed to teach as if it's regular stuff. Mikan ve'erach masvino roshei prakim. From that point on, we have the limitation. Rabbi Yosef was talking about roshei prakim. Or others say maybe the meaning of the braisa is like this. Ad va'era. So until there, you can't teach, but you can be moser roshei prakim until then. Mikan ve'elech, only if he's a chacham or maybe midaita, he can figure out himself. That's all very nice, but not more than that. So we have these three different va'eras. But that would imply, can you give me another just a minute? Because we want to get to the concept of the chashmal and the way that the Rambam talks about it, so we can start the base. So the question over here would be, that means that according to this, we're allowed to be derish some element of chashmal. But midarshinan b'chashmal at all? Wasn't there this terrible tragedy? There was a kid, v'ahu yanuka. So there was this, yanuka, of course, we call, even though it means literally a suckling, that's the way we refer to an infant. Obviously, it doesn't mean an infant. In the Gemara, we talk about yanuka or hahitinoik. That this is going to be important for later. That in the concept of kruvim, a tinok is a teenager. It's not an infant. And then the yanuka over here is a child in school, and he, as we'll see later on, that they were learning Yecheskel, and he understood what it meant, and a blast of energy came and ate him up. That was the end of him. So, va'achalte. Okay, that's because he was so young. You know, so, of course, you're not supposed to understand stuff when you're young. And it burns out your mind. Delav mati zimne. But here we're talking about older people. Omer of Yehuda, yes, indeed, you should know that the whole Sefer Yecheskel was viewed as dangerous. And there was a movement afoot to cancel it from the Sifrei Kodesh, and it should be hidden. And nobody should be allowed to learn it. But thank heavens for Hananiah ben Chizkia. So this could be, it's the same, the Hananiah ben Chizkia ben Gorain. It's a question of the gears of Hanina, is it Hananiah? It's different gearsos. And if not for him, Ilmolayu, Nignaz Sefer Yecheskel, we never would have been able to read Sefer Yecheskel because there's so many of the dinim in Sefer Yecheskel about the Karbonis that are a complete stira to the Torah, crazy things that it says over there about Kohanim are not allowed to eat Nevelas, but other people, Mashbe, are allowed. A lot of things that we've discussed in the Gemara before, and Psukim that about Karbonis that we never heard of bringing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a special Karbon, and so on. What is all of this? All your dwarves, Sotrim, Divrei Torah, what did Hananiah ben Chizkia do? He brought up, or he had brought up to him, 300 barrels of oil. Of course, we know from the Gemara, 300 is always a Lashon HaGuzma. But he needed that much energy, so to speak, to be sitting up there in dark, and to be able to be Yashav Baliyah, to be Derish, the entire Yecheskel, so there wouldn't be a single stira to Divrei Torah. Tana Rabbanan, there was a Maisa, there was another thing that Hananiah ben Chizkia did, because there was a Maisa with a Tinok Echad, that he was reading in school. Hayakorei b'beit rabo, b'sefer Yecheskel. And he understood chashmal. V'yatza esh b'chashmal v'sarafto. He was burned to death. U'bikshu lignoz sefer Yecheskel. So they wanted to hide it because it's too dangerous. So Hananiah ben Chizkia said to them, I mean, come on. How many kids do you know that could possibly have understood anything from what is written in sefer Yecheskel? I mean, just because it says ve'erem ve'erach hashmal, so you understand something? You don't know what it's talking about. How many kids like this do you find? Im zeh chacham, this is a child prodigy. I mean, he's crazy. This is Mozart. I mean, I don't know. Where do you find kids like that? You don't have to worry about these kind of things. But akol chachamim ein. It's not a problem. But what does hashmal mean? Omer of Yehuda, it means hashmal is eish memalot, speaking fire. So this is, therefore, the concept of the chayas of pure energy. B'masni satana, it means chashim mememalalim, sometimes being quiet and sometimes speaking. So b'shash adibo yotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashot, whenever there's a hashpah that's coming milamala, they go totally silent. And that's why it says in that first parak, Achayot Ratzov Veshov Kimarei HaBazak. This is the Hakdom of the Rambam to the Mor Nevuchim, that the Chayos, they run back and forth, and they look like Bazak. So what does this mean? My Ratzov Veshov. So it means, Omer Yehuda Ke'ur Yotzei Mipi HaKivshan. And what is the Marei Bazak? Omer Yehuda Bar Chanina Ke'ur Yotzei Mibein HaKharasim. So Rashi explains that when you're refining gold, so what they would do is they needed to have an extremely high temperature, but they needed to provide for the other elements that the gold had been mixed with to escape. They escape in a lower temperature, but you can't close the furnace. If you can't close the furnace, you can't maintain the necessary level of heat. So what they would do is that they would provide a very heat-retaining bottom of ground, of the cheres and ground levenim, which holds a lot of heat. And then on the top of it, they would have this piece of cheres that had tiny holes that were drilled through it to allow for the escape of gases. Now, the beauty of this thing is that it basically was, I mean, it was understood in later days that it was a spectroscopic analysis, because as the different heats allowed different things to be vaporized, they would burst out through these holes with different colors. And each one of those colors was a different element. And so the truth is that the Marei HaBazak has the hyperliteral description of the way in which, in literal terms, we have the elements that we have. That was expressed in the Marei HaBazak. So that means there was the shooting of different colors that would come out at different points in the heating process of the gold. And that would be the meaning of Ke'en HaBazak, which was all kinds of these different colors that Yecheskel is describing on the Chayos. That's the Ur that's Yotzei Mibein HaKharasim. So this, the Rambam says, is the Moshel as well. It's not just about Chayot. It's about even our own consciousness. Our own consciousness works that way. Because what happens is, says the Rambam, in consciousness, you think that anybody knows what the heck any of this means? And they're able to maintain consciousness of a reality in which these are the fundamental elements of reality? Ridiculous. All that you do with consciousness is you become aware for an instant of something that you have absolutely no idea what it means. And it's just a pure experience, like being in the face of a lightning bolt. And all of a sudden, everything is just radiating and your eyes are bursting out from the radiation, but it's gone. The lightning is gone by the time you're trying to look at it. That's what our experience is of this level of consciousness. And I'm talking about everybody. You think anybody? You think Moshe Rabbeinu understood anything? I'm talking about everybody. Human consciousness is a series of lightning strikes. The only difference between levels of consciousness is how often does the lightning strike? How much time is there for the lightning to disappear? But there is no such thing as an ongoing presence of consciousness. It's always, it burns itself out instantaneously. And that is the remez of the Kamarei HaBazak. Those are the Chashmal. Those are the highest level of what could be attained in terms of the human, so to speak, extension in a hyperliteral way of the Adam that's standing on the Kisei and so on, is that it's Kamarei HaBazak of this constant sense of Eish that can speak, but that is Chashot and Mamalalot, back and forth, jumping out and then receding instantly. And that's what our minds are like. It's with that he speaks about how careful people have to be about claiming that they understand something. Va'ere. So this is the continuation. The reason that, well, why are we mentioning this next piece? Because after the story of that we talked about in Yecheskel, about which chelik has the din of the Isurim, what are you allowed to be derish in, what are you allowed to give over Rashi Prokim in, and we saw the machlokas about at which point is Rashi Prokim, which, so today we just want to finish up with the pasuk that is the beginning of the expression of all of this, because it appears the Merkava in the midst of somehow being involved in this immense storm that is coming from the direction of the Tzafon. And we know that the Tzafon in Yirmiyahu, it says, Mitzafon tipatach ra'ah, which means that this was a reference to Bavel. So when it says Va'era, we talked about the three Va'eras. Va'era, v'hine ruach se'ara ba min ha-tzafon, anan gadol ve'esh mitlakachat, v'noga lo saviv, mitocha ke'ina hashmal, mitocha esh. So this is the psukim that we were talking about earlier. These are the beginning psukim. And for some reason, it starts from Bavel. So la'echan azal is the lashon that we have, or could be the lashon should be my boy Asim is Mashman Rashi. But what in the world was the Ruach HaSahara, which the Merkava appears in, what was it doing in Bavel? Omer Rav Yerom Rav, Shalach lichvoshit kol olam kolo tachat Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. The Merkava went out to make certain that the world would be conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and that he would become a empirical head. Why? What does he care? The kokach lama, shelo yamru mota olam biyad u'ma shefala, basar HaKadosh Baruch Hu et banav. Since we have a general din that anybody who is made Tzar Yisrael immediately becomes a Rosh, even if he is a total madman like Hitler, Yamach Shemo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uplifts him so that it shouldn't look like some Shmo was able to hurt Yisrael, but rather it would be somebody that might have been a Shmo, but he was big enough to hurt the whole world and everybody else had to give in to him. Same thing was true over here about Nebuchadnezzar. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar could have been some idiot that would have been able to be made Tzar Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to be that way. It has to be that it is an empire that goes out to hurt Yisrael. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi garam li sheyesh hamash lo obdei fesilim. It's absurd that I should be involved in needing to do this. I mean, why is this? Havonoteim shei Yisrael in Gormuli. It's all because of the fact that these my children couldn't be mentioned. So because of that, I had to go to do this in order to be able to punish them properly. That's outrageous. Anyway, getting back to Yechezkel. So we talked about the Ve'era that had to do with the Chayot and the Ofanim. And ultimately with the Tzuras HaAdam, which is Al Gabei HaMerkava, and so on the Kisei. Now, this is a very important Nekuda because it's going to give us an understanding of the nature of the problems of the Merkava and what it is that we need to understand about. So it says over here, Va'era HaChayot, V'ine Ofan Echad Ba'aretz, Etzel HaChayot. So I see one of the wheels, which these are living wheels, but we call them Ofan, because they are the things that the Merkava actually moves on. And one of them is on the ground next to the chayos. So how could that be on the ground and next to the chayos? Omar Rabbi Elazar, this is a malach echad who is omed ba'aretz, so it is on the ground. It's an ofan that actually is on the ground. However, it still is connected to the chayos, which is on top, and therefore the top of this malach reaches the top by the chayot. And as it was said in the Braita, the name of this malach is sandalphon. Now, sandalphon means a telephone that's connected to a sandal. Why is that important? Because the nekuda over here is that the sandal is something that is very, very low. It's all the way on the ground. And the phone is always that, like we had salil phone before, it's lalifon, and there's a sugya by Shimshon. So when we find very often the phone attachment to the malach is because of the ability of that malach to transfer sound, meaning transfer the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivayachol. By the way, the reason that I say the names of these malachim, many people are marked, but not to say the names of any malachim, except for the malachim that are the ones that are mentioned in Tanakh, like Michael and Gavriel and so on, which obviously those are names that we use. But Reb Shlomo Zalman says that he never saw any kind of Isser, any kind of place where people change the name of a malach other than the malach Matat. But that's because of the fact that it says Kishmi Bikirbo. So we don't want to say the entire name because it's the gematria of Shakai and so on. So because of that, we're more makbid. But he didn't see that there was an Isser to say over these names. Now, why is this concept of sandalphone so important? Because the idea over here is that, remember, we have two completely different descriptions that we've been talking about over here in terms of issues that have to do with Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava. Those aspects that are not Merkava, meaning that they are static descriptions of the relationship of the presence of the Shechina and the Olam and the world's relationship, Kavayachol, Takarish Baruch Hu, are considered to be part of Maisa Bereshis in terms of teaching. Masha Einkein, what we're talking about over here, is specifically Maisa Merkava, and that's what it is that the Gemara is talking about it being very makbid on over here. That was the lashon of the Mishnah. Why dafka ma'ase merkava? Why not say ma'ase akise? Where every time that we talk about the kise of Hashem and so on, because most people take it to be just because that's the place where we have most of these funny remozim in Tanakh, in Nach itself. But the truth is that there's a major difference between them. And that's because the Merkava is the vehicle, so to speak, of the interrelationship of the Hanhagas Hashem with the Nivroyim. That's why we talk about Ha'avot Ein Heina Merkava, right? Well, what is that supposed to mean? The Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Merkava. I thought the Merkava is this jaguar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drives, Kavayachom. How did the Avos become a jaguar? So in other words, the point over here is that the again, hyperliteral usage that we have of the Merkava, where we're talking about the movement through the Bria, within the Bria, that is something that is predicated on an immanence within the Bria. That immanence only comes from the Avos and from Yisrael. It's like Avram Avinu said, Elohei HaShamayim ve'Elohei HaAretz. When I arrived on the scene, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only the Elohei HaShamayim. It's because of me that he became the Elohei HaAretz. But the Merkava is specifically a function of Elohei HaAretz, you see, because it has to ride. And what it's riding on is the responsiveness to human intelligence and speech and so on. So therefore, it is a very dangerous kind of concept because it involves the Maisa Adam and the Gedorim of the Sphiras and the interrelationship with the way the world is to the Anhagas Hashem. Therefore, Sandalphon is extremely important because there are two problems that we have that we're going to see later on today with the Inyan of the Nichnasim Lepardes. And those two problems are that on the one hand, okay, Bani, I caught it. On the one hand, the issue is that this is a taking too much on the Adam and believing that you can influence things and you can sort of mechanically, this was something that was so dangerous to the Bali, many of the Bali Kabbalah, that you can use Shemot of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to influence the way that the world is. And so somehow reduce the Anhaga of the Olam to an artificial intelligence kind of thing, where if you put in the right kind of input, then you'll get the right kind of output. All of those people died young. You'll find that many of the Bali Kabbalah died before they were 40. That's why this business about being 40 probably comes from, because they all died before 40. But in any event, so the other issue is that when you have a concept of things that seem to be so beyond the individual concerns, it's possible to lose the connection of the intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and instead feel that you're a nobody and you're a nothing, and like, why are you important that the Zanoga should be Nogea, you specifically, this whole big universe out there that is part of a massive history. And so like you start to be mezalzel in your own presence. Both of these things we're going to see are issues that were Nogea Ben Zoma. And so the Inyan of Sandalphon is that the Malach that picks up the sounds, so to speak, picks up the tefillahs and transmits these tefillahs and turns them into kisorim, into crowns that fly onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head, this is the implication of the sensitivity to the smallest kind of input and the way that that input has massive connotations to the things that are most sublime and most important. People are very torn by these kind of issues. Most people believe, you know, why am I chashev enough that my tefillah should be chashev and so on and so forth. And other people have this self-centered vision of everything that it is that they're doing is like the most important thing in the world. Both issues need to be shalom in a person's heart in order for him to get through Ma'aseh Merkava without damage. That's going to be the problems that we'll see later on. So this Ofen is Bedavka Sandalfon, and he is actually greater. He's Gavoa Michaveiro Ma'ala Chamesh Meot Shana, Va'omed Me'achorei Merkava, V'Kosher Ketarim Lekono. So this Malach makes these Ketarim out of the Tfilais. And the Mepharshim bring that these every time that a person says an Amen or Yehi Shmei Rabba or Baruch Hu, so they bring that this is part of the Kesarim that are brought, and because of this, there's this whole Medrash that a person who doesn't say Baruch Hu and he doesn't say Yehi Shmei Rabba, so he's Memayit Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Keser. Yeah, they make all kinds of big things about this issue, but in any event, this is his special tafkid. Is greater, therefore, by a full 500 years. We saw that 500 years was one order of magnitude that we use, and therefore it's a magnitude comparison. And he is aimed behind the Merkava, so to speak, collecting all of the things that you think were not important. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean he puts Kitarim? He knows what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be able to put Kitarim? Doesn't it say Bedavka in Yechezkel, where it's talking about, and this we always use in our Kedusha, that the Malachim don't know where to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the end, they have to say Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimakomo, wherever that Mokom is. So how could it be that Sandalfon is able to do that? Mechlal de Mekomo Lekati Adalei. There is no Malach that can identify a specific location, so to speak. Well, of course Sandalfon doesn't know that, but what he does is he takes this crown, after he makes it the crown from Yisrael's tefillos and hilulim, he says a shame on that crown, and the crown finds its place, kivayachol, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head and becomes a keter. Now, the strange thing is that if you take a look at Yechezkel, you've got this long description and details and so on of the Ma'aseh Merkava. But then, so long before Yechezkel, you have the exact same story in Yeshayahu, except in Yeshayahu, it's just like a sort of a passing mention, you know, like didn't seem to make much of an impression on him. So this was the vision that Yeshayahu had, the Bishnat Motu Uziyahu, right? So it says over there, Veret Hashem Yosheva Kiseram V'Nisav Shulaim Adam Srofim Omdim Mimalo Shesh Knafayim and Korazel Zevi Amar Kadosh 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 and Vayanu Amot Asipim, and that was it. I was like, oh, okay, all right. I mean, like, there's nothing more impressive than that, you know. Yeah, I happen to notice that. it's almost nonchalant, whereas Yechezkel is going like, oh my God, oh my God, like, okay, what's happening? So why is that? Says Rava, it's not really that Yechezkel saw more. But you know what? Remember that all of these things are what we call mishalim. And by the way, I just want to mention to you that the concept of mashal is bedavka, not metaphor. Because the word mashal means mishal. It's that which extends out of something else. So it means hyperliteral. And because of that, it contains the concept of moshel, which is that it rules over us, because it's referring to a nested process in which if you take the main concept, you basically have a mashalah over the entirety. So even though people are used to using the word mashal as just metaphor, it actually means much more than metaphor, which is why we're so mocked on it making sense in a nested way. And we'll ask like really dumb questions, like the Befarshim ask really dumb questions over. They sound to us to be very dumb You know, so all of the Rishonim talk about if Adam is Mikzeh HaShemayim at Kzeh HaShemayim and he's also Min HaShemayim Ad La'aretz, then there's something wrong with the geometry. So they draw the geometry of the radius of the circle and the diameter. And how could you say it equals the same thing? It's like, okay, you know, we were just talking. No, you can't just talk. It has to be a nested marshal. So you have to give like a whole geometric explanation of so how could that hold, right? Okay. So people who don't really understand fully the concept of marshal, so they'll say, oh, come on, you know, it's just a marshal. Anyway, so because it's all a marshal, I'll use the word marshal from now on, but you need to understand what it means, right? So it's true that it's a marshal, but remember that it's a marshal that is based as a marshal must be. It's based on a human experience that it's meant to build on, right? So if I'm giving you a marshal in which I am comparing the presence of the Shekhinah to the presence of a great king that is driving by, all right? So now suppose you live in Rome, okay? And every other day you watch Caesar driving by. You know, it's okay, Caesar drives by, or you live in Washington, and woo, woo, you got all these Secret Service guys and this idiot's in his car, you know, with his bulletproof windows, and everybody's looking, all the tourists are pointing, and they say, oh, look, look, there's the president. See the president every day, morning and evening. All it causes is traffic jams. I wish you'd get out of here. So there, you can't really expect the same reaction from the marshal, from somebody who lives there, and some townsman who's never been in the big city and suddenly comes in and he says, oh my gosh, what's happening, right? And that's exactly the point, says the Gemara. Look, you know, there's a big difference between Yeshayahu and Yechezkel. I mean, Yechezkel's like a, you know, a farm boy. He's like a Ben Kvar, Shira'at HaMelech. So it's like he's very impressed. So therefore, this marshal makes, he goes to town with it. Mashenkin Yeshayahu is like, you know, he lives in the capital. He sees the Melech all the time. The Beis HaMikdash was still around, but it's full Kedusha. So yeah, it's true. It's so like that in Rome. It's true. So therefore, the idea over here is that it didn't make much of an impression on him. It's a nice marshal, but you know, it's good for the farm boys, but it doesn't mean all that much to me. Amazing humor. Okay. So now we've got a problem. Because we have to start looking at the meaning of this marshal. It's very strange, you know, all of these chayot and the different faces on the chayot. By the way, I also want to point out something else. That, again, when we read through Daniel, or we read through the stories of the Merkava, it seems to us like this is really, I mean, very heavy-duty medieval stuff, right? So let me just point out to you that just about every fantasy or science fiction movie that is coming out utilizes exactly these metaphors, and they scare the hell out of people. And for some reason, Godzilla is something that people get nervous about. And so what are these crazy images, right? So these are subconscious images that people respond to, of these so-called chayot and these massive monsters. And it's like, you know, you'd think that the audience would be sitting there cracking up, or come on, you take a little paper mache or something, you know, I'm supposed to be like really scared of who. But amazingly, the marshal works because of its subconscious connotations, which Lemaisa, I mean, it's very interesting. Where did these subconscious connotations, b'chlau, where they came from? You know, what's his name? That was the guy that popularized like a lot of space exploration and so on. He wrote
Sagan.
Yeah, Carl Sagan. Yeah. So his suggestion is that these subconscious images are images that are left over from the interrelationship of mammals with the dinosaurs, because they're all serpentine. And that because of this, some of the most profound things that are in our brain are left over from evolutionary history in terms of the fear of things that literally look like those kind of monsters. So monsters to us have sort of reptilian dinosaur faces because of the experiences hundreds of millions of years ago. which is a fascinating idea because the Torah says that essentially. That's the Eva Ashit, and the fear is all going to be in terms of Nochash. So the reptiles are the source of that problem. Anyway, but it's interesting, no? So Omar Resh Lakish. So when it says Ashira La Hashem ki go'oga'a, so what does go'oga'a mean? It means that he is mitga'eh above that which is ge'a. Ashira la mish mitga'eh la ge'im. Because we know that the Tana says that Melech Shebechayot is the Ari, and the Melech Shebabehemot is the Shor. So there's always a life form in a particular family that has power and that everything is afraid of and responds to. So you take a look at the king of the beasts that we say. So that's the lion. And then you've got the king of things in the farmyard, livestock. So that is the Shor. And then you have the Melech Shebaofot, that's the Nesher. And the human, he controls all of these, and they're all afraid of humans. So Adam mitga'eh, yeah, exactly, mitga'eh aleihem. V'akadosh Baruch Hu mitga'eh al kulam v'akol olam kulo. And that's what this mashal is on the Merkava of these various faces of Chayot and the face of Adam, and then you have the Adam that is the Remes, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on top, and so on. So here's the problem. So we've got two different psukim. This problem is an insight into the entire nature of the binyan of the Mishkan and the tikkun of the Egel and the nature of what we spoke of earlier, of the way that relationship needs to be focused on the underlying yesod of relationship, which is munach and the kruvim. So one pasuk says, "Dmut b'neihem b'nei Adam." So it's just like this, that one of the faces is human. And then there was the face of a lion on the right side, on all of these four chayas that are carrying the Merkava. And then you have the b'nei hashor to the left side, l'arba'atam. And fine. So this gives, then you had also the Pnei Nesher, but what's important to us is this, is the Pnei Shor Mi'as Small. By the way, the Pnei Shor Mi'as Small is the reason, that's Midas Hadin, and that's the reason that, and remember that the Brochot Gvuras Gishomim is in terms of Gvuras. And that's why the Gemara said back in Tainis, if you recall, that the call of Ridya, is Helech Misof Olam at Seifei, and the Gemara says, I saw Ridya, and it looks like an egel that is suspended, Ben Shemayim Ba'aretz, because that is the source of Gevuras Gishamim in terms of Midas Adin, which is why Klal Yisrael, as the Rishonim explained, why the Rabban, Rabbi Bakhi, why did Klal Yisrael choose an egel? Because the egel would be the Hanhoga necessary in a Mokam Amidbar, which is a Mokam that is pure Dinim, and it's stripped of everything. That's the complete soda, which is connected to the planet of Arrakis. That's the whole idea, that you only get what it is that you're able to deal with. And so because of that, you needed that Arrakis is a lashon of Reikut, by the way, because that's exactly the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes it. By the way, that whole book is full of Hebrew, you know that, literal Hebrew. You know, that's the Kvitzas HaDerech. So the whole thing was based on an understanding of Divrei Chazal. It talks about Adja Sheyavdil Ben Kelev, Ben Zev LeKelev. He brings the Gemara and Baruch. So there's a lot of literal, I don't know, people have no idea, like, what the heck is going on there. But it's really crazy. His son wanted me to write a Pirish Alpi Kabbalah to Dune. So it's like 40, when was this? 50 years ago, whatever. Anyway, so the idea over here would be that they went bedafke for the ego because of Pnei Ashor. And the strangest thing is that then, later on, Yechezkel goes over the Maisa Merkava again, and it's not the same description. And over there it says, Arba Apanim Lechad, and so on. And instead of the Seder that it says here, and instead of the faces that it says over here, it has Pnei Achad Pnei Kruv. And the Pnei Hasheni Pnei Adam, and the Shlishi Pnei Aryeh, and the Revi Pnei Nesher, and the Shor disappeared. So what the heck? V'ilu Shor lo kachoshiv. So how is that possible? Amar Resh Lakish, because Yechezkel changed the Merkava. What? Yes, he was Mevakesh of Rachamim, and he changed the Shor into a Kruv. And he said, Ribono Shel Olam, Kategoria says Sanegor. I don't understand your writing. This is the Rochev Shamayim Be'ezrecha. The whole Merkava is there in order to be Matsu Yisrael and to be Manig Yisrael. Every time you get onto your Jaguar, you're going to see a picture of the eagle hanging from the mirror. That's horrible. No, but we need to replace that with something that you'd like better. Fine. So he replaced it with the Kruv. And of course, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the Mishkan. The eagle, the tikkun of the eagle was the Mishkan. Yavo Zahav Sheba Egal and the Sheba Mishkan. And should be Mechabra Zahav Sheba Egel, and the Egel became the Kruv. So now you have the Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadosh, except the problem is the Egel is still hanging out. That's the story, you know, of the Kohen Gadol that went in there, pow. That's the Ragleim Kiragel, Egel, Regel Yisharak, Regel Egel. Okay. Anyway, so, but that was only until they were Mavato, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So now we don't even have any fun. But anyway, so getting to the Gemara, so Yechezkel therefore changed it. What is a kruv? Amar Rabbi Abu, a kruv is Lashon Ravya. Shken Babova calling the Yanuka Ravya. Again, a big Christian attempt to sanitize the kruvim is to turn Ravya into these little babies with wings. Nice, innocent babies. But the problem is that a Ravya is not an innocent baby. It's a teenager, and it's the opposite of innocence. That's what we talk about, you know, the Tinoi Kazeh. So it's a Ravya that has the maturity level of a Tinoi. That's exactly the point. So Omer Papa Bay, but that doesn't make sense because that means that it's a human. And if it's a human, so then that you have two faces that are exactly the same on the Merkava. You have Pnei Achat, Pnei Kruv, Pnei Hasheni, Pnei Adam. Then you have a Shvishi, Pnei Ayev, Revi, Pnei Nesher, but you, how can you count that as two separate things? You have Hainu Pnei Kruv, Hainu Pnei Adam. Says, what, is it the same face? It's not the same face. There's Ape Ravravi, and there's Ape Zutri. There's the mature face, and then there's the young face, the small face. Now, that small face translated into Aramaic is what? Ze'er Anpin, the small face. So the Ze'er Anpin becomes the Hanhaga of that set of spheres that are called Ze'er Anpin, the six spheres. And because of that, the whole idea of switching to a kruv instead of a shar is of massive importance in terms of the Hanhagas Ha'elamets and has an extremely central position in the entire study of Kabbalah and even in our songs where people don't know what they're singing, but they're talking, they sing about the Ze'er Anpin and so on. They don't understand that Ze'er Anpin means the small face. That small face was the face of the Kruv. And they're getting a little bit of the sense of the relationship aspect that the Kruvim represent when they talk about Ze'er Anpin. So again, they sanitize things too. Ze'er Anpin is a small face. And that's what it translates into. So Ze'er Anpin becomes the Pnei HaKruv, right? So that's the idea of, you know, Suda Shlishit, where we feel so happy or so intimate, but that intimacy is the songs that we sing about the Anahaga of Ze'er Anpin. Okay, continues another kind of stira, this time between what Yeshayahu saw and what Yechezkel saw. So Ketuv Echad Omer, Sheish Knafayim Le'echad. So the way that Yeshayahu describes these Chayas, they have six wings. So it says over there that two of those wings were used to be Mechaset Panav, and two of them were Mechaset Raglav, and Bishnayim Ye'ofef V'karazel Zev Yamar. Now, when it comes to Yechezkel, over there it says, V'arba'a panim lachat, V'arba'a knafayim lachat lahem. What happened to the two wings? It says over there were only four wings. So, says the Gemara, must be, that in Yeshayahu you saw the fully functioning chayos, because there was still a Beis HaMikdash that was around. And therefore, kam bizman shebet HaMikdash kayam. But Yeshayahu was talking from that as we saw, but Yechezkel was talking about bizman she'en beit HaMikdash kayam. And kevayachol, what you have to say is that the destruction or the loss of the presence of the Shechina was reductionist of the chayos and took away two of their wings. But which two of their wings? Because we know that they serve different functions. So which two of their wings? Amrav Chanan al Amarav, it's the wings that they sing with. Again, because the mushal to us, I mean, it sounds ridiculous. I thought wings you fly with. Yeah, but understand that you fly with music. I mean, even ask our Rebbe, he'll tell you. It's music that makes you fly, right? So basically, the Karaz Ze El Zev Yamar is from the wings. And that's the Kriya. Exactly. So it must be that those were the wings, because look, you can see this from Gzeres Shavah, because in Yeshayahu it says, Ubishtaim Yo Feif Vikara Zel Zev Yamar. And that is the same idea as the description of Torah in Mishle, where it says, Hataif Einecha Bo Ve'enenu. So you just blink your eyes, and all the things that you thought you understood, we mentioned this about the nature of consciousness and the idea of the Yiratzov Veshov and the Rambam's lightning strikes. So you blink and it's gone. And that means it's gone is a reference to the Ye'ofeif. So Ye'ofeif and Ita'if are related with the Gzeres Shavah that teaches us that those must be the wings that disappeared. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, actually, the wings that disappeared were the wings that used to cover the legs of the Chayot. Because otherwise, Shenemar, since it says over here in Yechezkel that Ragleim Regel Yishara, the wings of the Chayot were like a straight pole. How did he know? It says that the legs were like a straight pole, but it says that there were two wings that covered those legs, and therefore, how in the world would Yechezkel know that? V'ilav the imaut, if it wouldn't be that those wings were the ones that were lost, mina have a yada? That's not a question. I mean, even when you're wearing a skirt, you know, your leg comes out every once in a while, right? So let's say these chayos are covering their legs. It doesn't mean you never see what the legs look like. So dilma de iglai v'chazile. It could be for a moment they stuck out. Dilote ma'achi. How would he know what their faces looked like? Dmut p'neihem p'nei adam. What are you going to say, that the wings covering their faces were also taken away? I mean, that's crazy. There were four wings that were left, so must be that he saw their faces for a moment. That's not a riot. No, says the Gemara, that's not true. It's a face is something that is okay to expose for a moment in the presence of your Rebbe, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayocha. But your feet? So therefore, the wings must have disappeared. Okay, that's the machlokas. Now, another problem is that we find in one pasuk it describes, and this is already going to Daniel, that elef alfin yishamshune v'riba ribavan kedamoi yakumu. So here we're talking about Nahar Dinor, and there were a thousand, so that's millions. And then it says that there were also myriads, which is 10,000 times 10,000, so talking about hundreds of millions. And then, but there's numbers, but in Eov it says, Beferish, Hayesh Bispar Ligdudav. Are there any number at all? Meaning that this should be infinite. How is it that he sees a specific number in Daniel? No, Lokash, the same issue. Kam Bisman Beis Hamikdash Kayam. But when there's no Beis Hamikdash in Daniel, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Pamalia, so to speak, we say Nismatu Pamalia Shamala, the Pamalia Shamala was reduced because of the Chisaron of the Beis Hamikdash. It's completely different. So Kavayachon Nitmata Pamalia Shamala. Tanya. Rebbe Yomer Mishum Abba Yosef Ben Dusoy. It's very simple. Elef Alfin Yishamshuni. Okay, that's a million. A million is in every gedud, but there's no number given to the gedudim. That's what was talking about in Eov. Look, gedudav and mispar. So there's no contradiction at all. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar, we're talking about two different things, for heaven's sakes. We're talking about Elef Alfinishim Shemune. That whole discussion is talking about Nahar Dinor, which is the remes to the Milky Way. That was the what it was that you see in the sky, right? So this is the Nahar Dinor. This is a stream that is filled with fire. So it's a river of stars. Shenemar, Nahar Dinor, this fire, the stream that was made of pure energy, Noged V'Nafek Min Kadamoy, so this emerges out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is at the beginning of the Pasuk, and it says, Elef Alfin Yisham Shunei V'Riba Rebavan Kedamu Yakumu. That's talking about Nahar Dinor. What are you confusing the Gedudav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to these Malachim that are relating specifically to the Nahar Dinor? Where does this Nahar Dinor come from? So where's all that energy coming out of? That's coming out of the terror of the Chayas that they are sweating, man. Oh, are they sweating? And out of that sweat, you got this entire Milky Way up there. So where does it pour out on? I mean, it's got to come out somewhere. It goes right into hell. Al Rosh Rishaim began. All of that sweat and all of that terror is what terrorizes people in hell. Because that's what it says. Shenemar, hinei sarat Hashem, chema yatzah v'sar mitcholel. Here's this terrible storm coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of anger, a massive tempest. Al rosh rishayim yachul, it falls on the head of Rishoyim. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, there's a special place where it falls. It falls al asher kumtu. Shenemar asher kumtu v'lo eit. Nahar Yutsak Yisodam. So those who were kumtu. Now kumtu is a very strange word that has multiple meanings. The simple meaning of it is that it's the word that we would use in attempting to create fusion. So what happens to a plasma is that it's pinched. Asher kumtu. So you set it up and then it pinches out of existence from itself. Now the same thing happened with the Dorei Sa'ela, because if you take a look, Davar Siva LeElevdor. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning initially that the Torah would be ready for the Olam to use after 1,000 generations. In fact, the Torah was given in 26 generations, which leaves 974 Dorot that sort of lost their place. Rashi says they lost their place because of the fact that the world was basically pinching itself out, because it could not be Miskayim without a Torah. Those were the Chofav Doros that we had of Kili Olam Chasto, in which the Olam was Miskayim on pure Chesed. And as we saw in the whole description of Avram Avinu, pure Chesed is very destructive and pinches itself out. So what happened, therefore, is that 974 Dorot got pinched. Now, so the question is, what happened to them? That will be our sugya tomorrow. But in terms of the Nahar Dinor, it says Nahar Yutsak Yisodam. So then the Yisod that they had, their entire foundation, was wiped out with this Nahar. And that must be the Nahar Dinor that now is the pain of all of those generations and all that might have been and all that would have been Mikalkel.